Perek Yudches Mishnah Aleph. Mifanin afilu arba v'chamish, kupo shal teven v'shal tevua, v'bnei ha'orachim v'bnei bitel beis ha'medrash. So what this means is as follows. On Shabbos, you're not supposed to be matriach yourself. You're not supposed to, you know, work too hard. You shouldn't be schlepping couches and moving furniture. But if you have, you know, they had these bins that they'd have lots of straw and wheat in them, and say you wanted to empty them out in order to make room for your guest, or if people wanted to learn, you had to have more seats for people to learn, then you're permitted to empty out these bins numerous times on Shabbos. And we don't look at it as a tircha. And the reason is that because you're doing it for a mitzvah, so the fact that there's a tircha involved, it doesn't bother us. But, you know, to just do it in general, you want to clean up your house and start emptying out these giant bins of wheat and straw, that would be prohibited. Now, even when you're doing it for a mitzvah, so we give you the green light, you can empty out these bins. Avalosa Otzer, don't empty out your entire storage house of wheat and straw, because we're afraid then that while you're emptying everything out, you may come to be mashva gumos, which means that, you know, the storage house in those days wasn't like nowadays. It was made out of dirt. And there'd be holes in the dirt in the floor. There'd be holes in the dirt floor. And as he's schlepping everything out, you know, this wheat and the straw and the dirt may fall into the holes, and then it'll be sealing up the holes, which is a toda of choresh, the secondary to plowing on Shabbos. So therefore, don't empty out your entire house, because if you do, you may come to seal up holes in the ground, and that's going to be a real problem of plowing on Shabbos. Okay. Similarly, Mifanin Truma Tahora, a Yisrael, even though he's not allowed to eat Truma Tahora, pure Truma, he's allowed to move it out of the way on Shabbos. It's not Muktzah, because even though he can't eat it, a Kohen could eat it. However, Truma Temeya, Truma which is, you know, defiled, then, you know, it's Muktzah on Shabbos, because no one's allowed to eat it. Even a Kohen can't eat it, because you got to burn it up. Truma Temeya has to be burnt. So that's going to be totally Muktzah. Okay. Udmai, if you have demai, demai is da'mai. What is this? It's wheat that was bought from an Amaretz who doesn't, you know, we're concerned he doesn't take off Maisa properly. So, you can't eat from it until you take off the Maisa. Nevertheless, it's mutter to eat it, to move it on Shabbos. It's not muktzah. Because, an ani, poor man, is able to eat it. Or even the guy himself could eat it because he could, you know, be mafkir all of his possessions and then become an ani. And then he could eat it. So since ani and poor people can eat the mai, even a regular Yisrael can move it on Shabbos, it's not deemed muktzah. The idea here is that these items aren't muktzah because they're food. But if they're not food, you know, then they're muktzah. We'll see examples of something that's not food. But things that are food, even though it's not food to you, but it's food to the Kohen. It's not food to you, but it's food to an ani. And you can move it on Shabbos, it's not muktzah. U'maiser Rishon, shenitla trumaso. If you have Maiser Rishon, that the truma was taken off. What this means is that the truma's Maiser was removed from the Maiser Rishon, even though the truma gedola wasn't removed yet. For example, if the Levi came along and he removed the Maiser while it was still on its stalks, before it was obligated in truma, so in this case, the Levi is putter from taking off Truma Gedola, and since it's permitted, v'kimach mutter la'ochel, the Levi is allowed to eat it now, so therefore also mutter, it's permitted to move it, and it's not muktzah on Shabbos. U'maiser sheni v'hektish sheniftu, if you have maiser sheni, or you have hektish, that you redeemed it, a person's permitted to redeem his fruits from maiser sheni, or from hektish, onto money, and then bring that money to Yerushalayim and spend it over there. So what happens is the money takes the place of the holiness, and the fruit that had this kedusha on it is gone, and therefore the fruit's now permitted to be eaten. So therefore, and by hektish also, you know, he redeems it onto money, and then this fruit turns into chul, and it's just not sacred anymore, and the money becomes hektish. So these foods, once you redeem it from the maaser sheni or the hektish, you can move them on Shabbos. And they bring down over here that when one does redeem his maaser sheni or his hektish, he also has to add a fifth to the value to the money that he's redeeming it on. And the Mishnah is coming to tell us that by maaser sheni and hektish, if the owner redeems it onto money, now he has his fruit that he wants to eat, even if he didn't add that chomish, that fifth, so he could still go ahead and move his food. It's not muktzah because he can still eat it. It's permitted to eat. He'll owe this extra fifth on what he's leaving it onto. He'll owe it to Hekdesh or to Maaseh Sheni, but the food is now edible and therefore it's not muktzah. V'had tormas hayavesh. If you have tormas hayavesh, is this type of kidney, this type of legume, that even though it's bitter and it's hard, so maybe you wouldn't deem it like food, it's still permitted to use it on Shabbos. Because poor people could eat it. Avalo is a tevel, but tevel, something that the truma was not taken off of it, it's in a tevel state, it's also it's prohibited to be eaten, that is muktzah on Shabbos. Velo ma'aserishon should lo nitla truma, so not ma'aserishon, the truma was not taken off. Meaning, if you have this ma'aserishon that the truma gadola should lo nitla mimena truma gadola, neither the truma gadola nor the truma's ma'aser was removed from it. So then it's then that's also not edible yet, and that's gonna be muktza. And they explained that if it was after you did meruach akri, you flattened out your pile of fruit, so now it's obligated in truma, and then the Levi comes and he takes his meiser from the pile before he takes off the truma gdola. So in this case, the Levi is chayv to take off lahafresh bimasro, not just the truma's meiser, he has to also be mafresh the truma gdola, and as long as he's not mafresh this, so it's like regular tevel, and you can't eat it, and therefore since you can't eat it, it's muktzah on Shabbos. And not Maaseh Sheni and Hekdesh that was not redeemed. Because if it was not redeemed, then you can't eat Maaseh Sheni or Hekdesh just where you are. And therefore, that's also muktzah. And they bring down here that even if you did redeem it, but you didn't redeem it properly. For example, Maaseh Sheni redeemed it onto a coin, onto money that has no image. The rule is it has to be onto money with an image, like the face of the country or something like that. Otherwise, it's not a good redemption. And regarding Hekdesh, yeah, Hekdesh has to be redeemed onto money and not onto the actual earth. So if you didn't redeem the Hekdesh or the Maaseh Sheni, or you redeemed it, but you redeemed it improperly by redeeming Maaseh Sheni onto coins that have no image on it, as opposed to coins that should have an image of the country or of the president, or Hekdesh, where you only let him redeem it onto money, and instead he redeemed it onto the land, onto the karka, so there was no proper redemption, or they didn't redeem it at all, so then these foods are muktza, because they're not edible. V'lo asa luf, luf is a type of onion. V'lo asa chardel, not a certain type of mustard that's not, you can't eat it as it is, and on Shabbos you can't fix it up, so therefore, for all practical purposes, these things are not edible, and therefore they're muktza on Shabbos. Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel comes along and he says matir b'luf. He says this luf, this type of onion, is permitted to be eaten on Shabbos. Mipnei shumaychal arvim, because it is the food of arvim, of these raven birds. And what happened is that the rich people used to raise these birds in order to play with them. And since you'd feed these birds this type of luf, Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel says that hey, it's a meichel of food. It's a real meichel. It's a real food. Animals can eat it. And Klal Yisrael are like Bnei Malachim, are like princes who are very, very rich. And therefore, everyone, can eat this onion on Shabbos. It's a bit of a stretch, but he says, rich people will raise these birds, the birds will eat these onions, and we're all considered rich because we're all kings, we're all Bnei Malachim, we're the princes of God, we're God's children, and therefore anyone could, move this food on Shabbos, not muktzah. But the Tanakhama will hold it, no, that, since this thing's only befitting for people that raise these ravens, which is real rich people. I'm sorry, actually Tanakhama has a different reason. They just say it's not common. It's not common for people, it's not common for people to be raising, these raven birds. So they just say, because it's not common, therefore we don't mat it, we don't permit to move this loaf, a certain type of onion on Shabbos, and that's how we paskin, we're more stringent. This is not a common thing, so therefore we don't permit the movement of this onion on Shabbos. Okay, moving along to Mishnah Beis, we continue in the same theme of, the basic idea here is, without going into all the nitty-gritty examples, is if you have food and it's befitting to be food, it's not muktzah. If it's not befitting to be food, it is muktzah. That's really what we're just saying over and over again in various different examples. Okay, we're going to go a little over time here. Let's try to wrap this up. Chavili kash v'chavili eitzim, you have bundles of straw, you have bundles of wood. The chavile zeradim, where you have these bundles of branches from a soft tree. So if his kinan lemaichal behema, if you prepare them on erev Shabbos for your animals to eat it, then metalzanosan, you can move them on Shabbos because it's like food, even though it's a branch, but you've prepared it as food. Then metalzanosan, you can move them on Shabbos. Vimlav, if you didn't prepare it, you know, on erev Shabbos for animal food, it's going to be used as your firewood. Then ain't metalzanosan, you can't move them on Shabbos because then they're like regular mukza. Again, same principle. Is this going to be food? Is this not going to be food? An apple, everyone agrees is food. An orange, everyone agrees is food. But these piles of wood, is it food or is it not? So it depends on how you set it up before Shabbos. Moving right along, kofen es hasal lefnei ha'afrochem. So you can take a basket and put it on the ground in front of these afrochem, one of these chickens, on Shabbos. So now we're going on to a little bit different topic. You know, you can't touch a chicken on Shabbos because it's an animal. An animal's a mukzah. But you are allowed to put a basket in front of the chickens and the chickens go onto the basket. So you didn't really do anything. You didn't touch a chicken. You just put the basket down and they walked onto it. So that's permitted. In order they should go onto the basket and they should go off of the basket. Because this Tana holds that a utensil which is used on Shabbos, even for something that's, you know, afal torach davarish eino nitel, you're using the utensil for something which is eino nitel, meaning you can't move a chicken. A chicken's mukza. But here, this Tana holds, you can use a utensil for something that you normally can't move, as long as you don't move that item, meaning I can't move a chicken, but I'm allowed to put a utensil in front of the chicken for the chicken to climb up on it, and that's not a problem. There's no, you know, problem with that on Shabbos. Okay, what about Tanagula Shebarcha, a chicken that's running away? So you want to capture it, but you can't capture it on Shabbos. It's mukza. So Dokhanasa, you can push it actually with your hands. Achitikanes, until it goes back into its place. It's permitted to push it with your hands. You're not really, you know, holding it. You're just pushing it with your hands. But they bring down over here, you can't medadim osa. You can't, like, you know, grab it by its feathers. Because if you grab it by its feathers in order to get it to its place, you'll be carrying it off the ground, and that'll be, you know, that'll be real tiltal, real moving it. So once you're grabbing it by its wings, it's going to lift itself off the ground, then you're really going to be moving it, and that would be prohibited. Okay. Midadin, however, so you can't grab the chicken by its feathers because it lifts itself off the ground, and therefore you're moving it. Nothing to do with carrying here. Here you're moving it. Moving it is mukza. But midadin agalim usyachin, you could kind of like grab hold of a galon of siyachin, like these baby calves or baby donkeys, in a rishisa rabim, in a public domain, because you're grabbing them by their ear or by their neck, and you're helping them get to their destination. So that's not really considered that you're holding them since they walk on their own. A chicken will lift itself off the ground, therefore you're really holding it. But these animals will walk on their own, you're merely guiding it, and therefore you could grab them. Okay, what about Isha, woman? Medades, but no, a woman could, you know, grab her son by the arm and move him on Shabbos. And that's going to be even in a public domain. Let's just say there's no Erev. Because again, the son could walk on his own, and therefore you're not really picking him up. So till now with the animals, the problem was really of mukza, of moving them. But with the woman, it's more of carrying. This is not considered carrying, even though she's holding her son's arm because her son could walk on his own. So a chicken, you can't grab it by its wings because it lifts itself off the ground, you're carrying it. And that's going to be mukza. A baby calf and a baby donkey, you could grab it by its ear, and that's not considered really moving it because it'll walk on its own. Again, these two have nothing to do with the A river with carrying, just with the mukza aspect. But a woman holding her son's hand, that's going to be more of an A river thing because people, kids aren't mukza, and she could do it in a public domain as long as the kids are walking along. I'm Rabbi Yehuda, so comes along Rabbi Yehuda right away. Amasai, he says, when could a woman do this? When the son lifts up one foot and puts the other foot down, meaning he's walking normally. She's not carrying him. If he's dragging his feet, he's not lifting them up. So then, also, it's prohibited for the mother to, you know, be holding his arm, because what's going to happen is that Nimta Isha Neosis Espera, she's going to end up carrying him and picking him up. And a kid is not able to walk on his feet. We don't say Chai knows he has asthma. We don't say that it's as if he's picking himself up. Normally, you know, if you have someone that could technically walk, so when you're pulling him, we say Chai knows he has asthma. The living person carries himself. So you're not really carrying him. He's carrying himself. So it's no problem holding on to him. But if the kid's dragging his feet, we don't say chayinos his atzma. We don't say he's as if he's, you know, holding himself up. And then the mother would actually be carrying him, and that'd be a problem of carrying on Shabbos. Not muktzah, but carrying. And this is how we pass like a Yehuda. He's not arguing on the Tanakama. He's only explaining his words that you gotta make sure the kid's walking along. You can't just pick him up in your arms or drag him over here is gonna be if there's no Erevah. Okay, that concludes Mishnah Beis.